Have you hit record, Ross?
Yes.
Excellent. This for the third time. Welcome to the latest Kings of Anglia podcast. I'm your host, Mark Heath, as ever, in the secret bunker at IO Radio in Ipswich. Thanks for having us, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be a struggle, boys.
Somebody's hungover.
Across the table from me is the man who I assume has to apply sun cream in this weather to the top of his head. The man who's now looking at me like he wants to kill me. No.
Is it true, though?
Why is it just... why is it fair game to have a dig at people who are follically challenged? Like, that's just fine.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to oppress you. Anyway, we like to call him Dr. Watson. At some point, there should be some intro music playing, Ross. There we go. This is a shambles today.
Is Ross hungover as well?
Absolute shambles. Ross is officially, of course, off this week, but he's coming very kindly, very early in the day, to record this nonsense. We've paid a lot of money for this.
I'll learn the rap at some point.
Dr. Watson, how are you today?
I'm very good. Better than you, by the sounds of things.
I've got a confession. I'm hanging. I'm really struggling today. So
Sunday night.
I don't feel as dynamic as I do normally. Whereas you two are full of the joys of spring.
Oh, yeah.
I'm absolutely buzzing today, actually.
You are. You've both been dancing away during the intros. Andy was doing the arms spread, Christ on a cross.
Yeah.
Relishing in the whole thing. Stu's been dancing. I should also introduce Andy, of course. The man to my left, the man dressed as if he's going on holiday today.
I wish.
Shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah, we all know why that is. Sweat reasons.
But here's the man we like to call Hutch Hogan. Michael Hutchins, Alfred Hutchcock, to give him his full names. Droobs as well. We've forgotten about that
Droobs.
One.
Let's knock that one off.
Droobs.
Just go, we'll go with Andy.
Droobs. Hutch Dog.
Pump it up, Ross.
Hutch Dog.
Please, please.
I'm so pleased you've got energy today because I've got none. It's brilliant. Hutchie, how are you? Did you have a good weekend?
Good, thanks.
What did you do?
Not much.
Great. Brilliant. We're back.
There's a real contrast here because Andy and I have been solo dadding all weekend separately with our own respective daughters. So to come back to work is like a break.
Is this why you're so chirpy?
This is it's like we've survived the weekend and now this is just easy.
So, but you must have. We need stories for this part.
No, I want to hear more from you.
No, you don't.
Yeah, this is very much your time to shine, my friend. No, you can barely speak. Yeah. You're boshing off a. Was it Wild Cherry?
Wild Cherry Lucozade. Still need a sponsor.
What is that helping?
I've only had a mouthful and it didn't agree with me, so I'm not sure how much I'm going to drink.
Sunday night drinking. What's that all about?
Wow.
Are you aware it was bank holiday last weekend?
Yeah, I'm just such a maverick, boys. That's what it is. Basically, what happened is me and the wife. We did a running event yesterday, which was stupid because it was the hottest day of the year. So we ended up running 10K in 29 degree weather. Had to get up at 7 to go and do it. It didn't go very well because it was hot. People were dropping like flies. Someone actually got air ambulanced off to the hospital. It was that hot.
Ooh, wasn't you?
Wasn't me. Could have been me. When we got back home, the sun was out. It's nice to have a little drinky, innit? Obviously not you two, because you've got kids and all that sort of stuff, and you're grown up and responsible, but not me. I refuse to do that. I had a few drinkies and was drinking everything in the house, essentially. And now I'm really struggling.
How much are we talking? What have you consumed?
Obviously, we had an isotonic recovery beer pretty much as soon as
that's
we got
fine.
Home. That's standard. Carbs in that. Good. And then, obviously, the sun's out. Break open the Prosecco. Don't
Guns
you?
Out as well?
Guns out, best, of course. The wine came out to play as well, which probably wasn't the best idea in hindsight, but there you go.
That's class, isn't it?
What we did do is we didn't have any whiskey. There was talk at one point, just finishing the evening with a little nightcap with a whiskey.
How's Mrs. Heath today?
She's hanging, but then she works from home, so doesn't matter, does it? She's got a 5-second commute.
Note to self, don't get a lift back with Mark after this finishes.
Yes. I need the walk.
So getting into that without crashing into war was a great achievement for me. I forgot, of course, in the intros, because I'm all over the place today, to intro the man behind me, and I can't look at him anymore because of the mic positions now. He was with me on Friday night. We're going to talk about this in a minute, but the boy Ross, producer Ross, here we go, with the greatest intro of all time.
It is.
Yeah. I think you've got to put up there. Superstition by Stevie Wonder is one of the greatest single intros in the history of music. What else would you put up against it? I'm so thrown off by how chirpy you both are this morning. Because normally you're just sitting here like, Stu especially sitting here like, just grumpy whenever we do this. And now he's smiling.
Reveling in your pain, friend.
It's amazing. Producer Ross, how are you?
Good.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, much better than me. Thanks for coming in on your day off, or your week off, to do this. Obviously, you just came in on your day off on Thursday to do it. Now you're on a week off.
Get bonus, right?
You don't get any bonus apart from hanging out with us, which is bonus enough.
Are you hungry today, Ross? Are you?
What are we battling today? Lethargy?
I'm actually fine today.
You had breakfast?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to have brunch.
Are you going to go for a Turkish breakfast?
Ooh, could do. If it's open still.
Amazing. Me and Ross had a night out on Friday night. It was good.
Yeah.
We were at the fighting, weren't we?
Yeah. There's no food, though.
Yeah, Ross was outraged because there was no food. He had a cookie. We're at Cage Warriors 105 in Colchester. Proper sport. Covering a proper sport. Ross, it was your first ever fighting event, I understand.
Yeah.
And you were literally could not have been closer. You were getting spattered with blood and sweat and all sorts. And you were buzzing, it was fair to say.
Yeah, I was, yeah. I wanted to get in the cage.
No, you didn't. That's a ridiculous thing to say.
Ross claimed that we had a bit of a chat off air about this, and Ross claimed that he thought he could have lasted longer than the first guy that he took pictures
Ross,
of.
Don't say such stupid things.
But he lasted like 20 seconds.
Yeah, but you would survive as long as it took before you could stop running away. As soon as, like, literally someone touched you, you'd be over.
Presumably this guy that lasted 20 seconds is still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Because Ross wouldn't be, would he?
No.
Which is the ultimate defeat.
It surprises. Yeah, I would quite. I'm now you're boasting about said things, Ross. I'd quite like to see you in there, just to see how out of depth you are. I saw something the other day, actually, one of these kind of meme fake news things, which was a headline: average man performs 4,000% less. I can't even say it now. I have to read it.
At least Ross would have an amazing walk on. Before he was murdered. In
Here
the
we
cage.
Go. Report. Average male 4,000% less effective in fights than they imagine. That's essentially the whole of the human race. That's
that
Ross.
Very true.
Yeah. Because I think until you've done it, you have no idea how vulnerable you are, how out of your depth you would be in that sort of situation. So, Ross, do you enjoy it, though?
Yes. It was great fun. Really good fun.
What was your favourite bit? You were taking pictures of blood and showing them to me at one point.
I like the walk-ons. Of course, there's some good... Walk on songs. Of course,
yeah.
Layla.
Layla.
Just the songs.
Layla? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Layla. Layla Ann Lee. She was the host. And very good she is too. It was some good fights as well, weren't there,
it's
Ross?
Some good fights. But of course, my debut was 20 seconds for 10 pictures because I thought, oh, it's going to last at least a couple rounds, but 20 seconds.
Yeah,
like
I actually missed it completely. I was trying to set my computer up, and before I knew it, the first fight was over. I had no idea it would go on.
Because you weren't actually there, were you, properly?
Unprofessional.
Yeah,
basically, normally you're cage side at these things, but because they're set up in Colchester, we're in a sort of room at the side, watching on a TV.
Yeah, I've done that at the darts.
Yeah, so although I'm there, I'm not actually there. It's bizarre. What?
Just throwing in some darts chat.
It is true, in fact. I've covered the World Darts Championship. I've been in a tent round the back. Yeah. It's very silly, isn't it?
They actually have media covering that, do they?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, some of the world's finest sporting outlets.
Oh, boys, right, I suppose we better get on.
This is brilliant.
I've just been retweeted by IO Radio while I'm sitting here. Fantastic. What are we going to talk about today, boys? Because we last did one of these on Thursday, and I can't imagine much has happened since then. I was off work on Friday, so bring me up to speed with the latest. Any new and sexy transfer chat? We all chattered out about transfers. This is going to be amazing if you're going to just sit there and shake your head at me.
No,
I never thought I'd say this, but can we hear more from Mark?
No.
There isn't really any more.
I noticed already when I put the mailbag thing out this morning, the appeal, I had quite a few responses. They're recording early this morning. Does that mean something's going to happen? Hashtag announce Norwood. So
I don't think it will be today.
That's not happening today.
I don't think it will be today.
Will it be this week?
I imagine so. Yeah.
Because he's back from Magaluf, isn't he, with the lads?
Presumably, yeah.
Hopefully.
No, he's very much back.
Yeah.
I think he got the people going yesterday because he posted on Instagram something that was tagged in Sudbury in Derbyshire.
A fine place.
Yeah, I think he was doing something in the prison, which...
Ah, yeah, HMP Sudbury, yeah. Of course. Yeah, that is the prison there. What was he doing?
I think he was managing a team.
Ah, like the meme machine.
I think it might. I think he was Vinnie Jones.
He would be perfect for that role as well, wouldn't he? Sort of tough,
tats,
barrel-chested, tattoos.
Yeah, but yeah, he wasn't in Suffolk, but he will be at some point.
Excellent.
And I don't know when.
Any other transfer-related news and speculation to bring our dear listeners? What's going on with Connor Washington? Is that still happening?
Good question. It's gone a little bit quiet since I've done that first story a few weeks back. I think we were planning to get on to kind of the peek behind the curtain in terms of the transfer stuff, but we've talked about sort of needing multiple sources behind a story, and everyone's got different agendas when it comes to transfer season, be it agents who are trying to get a bit more money or a move for their people, be it people within football clubs that will tell you something's not happening when it is happening. There's loads of different agendas that come into play, and the Washington one is one where I'm getting sort of conflicting reports on at the moment, so I'm still pretty confident that he's someone that they've looked at very closely. Whether it will happen or not remains to be seen. We're certainly not sitting here saying it's a Norwood situation at this moment in time.
Mm. And there's no other, you've not heard any other bits and pieces with your ears to the ground, Hutchie Dog?
No, not really.
No other business?
No, no other business. Right, and that's that.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. I'm off to die.
No, not really, no.
So, Stu alluded to there, one of the plans today, and I haven't got a plan. I'm normally...
Because you're hungover.
Prepared. Well, yeah, basically I came straight here. So we were talking a little bit this morning on the Ballers chat, weren't we, boys, about a little bit of a peek behind the curtain of what we like to call silly season, the summer slowdown, which we're now firmly in the midst of, June, where football basically goes on holiday. Now, back in the past, in the halcyon days of newspapers, at this point we'd turn our attentions away from town and start covering other sports like cricket and stuff like that actually happen in the summer, and, you know, Olympics and all that sort of stuff. But those days are gone now because of the relentless pressure to keep churning over the web hits with Ipswich Town stuff. And so that basically means now that you boys have more weight on your shoulders probably than you'd like over the summer. So if you just talk a little bit about the challenges of this time of year as a journalist covering a football team now, it's not fun, is it? Or is it?
It starts at the end of May when other members of the office come over and say, I bet you're looking forward to a few months off now.
Yeah.
That's when that begins.
That's not just people in the office. I find that's every sort of dinner party chat, or, you know, you meet up with friends, what do you do over the summer? I don't know if you've noticed, but you can still buy a newspaper during the summer.
Yeah.
And people are still interested in football. So it has its challenge, doesn't it?
It does.
A different type of challenge to the sort of relentless nature of the 9 months of the football season of Tuesday, Saturday games. You know, it looks after itself. It's a different kind of challenge with the travel and everything. But this, you know, May in particular is the dead time when the whole of football just goes into shutdown and people disappear on holidays. And
well, we didn't have that last year, did we? Because we were consumed by the search for the Messiah last summer, which
that was tremendous,
which went on for the whole of the quiet period, didn't it? So
yeah.
that wasn't in existence last summer. It is a bit quieter this year, isn't it? Like last summer was crazy.
It's pretty much perfect for us last summer because the whole of May was consumed with speculation. Then Hurst was appointed, and before you knew it, obviously, then you've got all the Hurst stuff we can do, and before you knew it, fixtures are out, of course, which is now, what is it, 3 weeks away? So before you know it, it'll be all.
Well, that's two weeks this Thursday, isn't it?
Absolutely, my birthday, if anyone's looking to get me a present. Yeah, so... What? You haven't got me a present, Ross?
I got a surprise.
I bet you have.
He hasn't.
No. So talk a little bit about, for me, as a sports editor, this is probably my least favourite time of the year, because you kind of... There's no football to write about, but we have to keep the football going, for reasons that are kind of beyond our control now.
Shadowy archant figures.
Yeah, there is pressure, shall we say, to keep those lovely Ipswich Town-related web hits rolling when there's not really a lot to write, let's be honest.
And I can already hear people screaming about clickbait and creating news. We are very conscious that we have reputations to uphold, and we don't... It goes against everything that sort of Andy and I believe in terms of sort of getting dragged into the the very word speculation and rumour and stuff like that. You know, we always... I would rather be second with something, but be right and have a 95% success rate.
You're so old-fashioned.
And maintain that trust. And if we say it, then hopefully people put a bit more credence in it. And that's what we aim for. But there is also a pressure to be ahead of the curve. And we go back to this Norwood debate in terms of why are you doing so much stuff on Norwood? You be fair to the guy, you're unsettling Tranmere, you're unsettling the player. That's the way it works. And we have, how many stories have we done on Norwood, Andy?
Four
stories.
In 3 months.
So Andy, I think, did a story in March to say that Ipswich are very much interested. Then what did we do?
Another one in the start of May that it was still ongoing.
And that was kind of pressurised, really, because at that stage it then crept into the national media and other local media followed suit. And so, you know, we couldn't just ignore it at that point. So that was just a reminder that we are on top of this. And then we've done some quotes that he did after the playoff final, which are very much relevant. And then Andy did another story to say a deal is agreed and he will be signing. So we haven't gone to town with this, and it's what people are interested in at the end of the day.
I think that's a caveat for all you can say about, oh, we don't like doing that sort of stuff. People, there's a huge market for it, that kind of transfer speculation. That's all fans are talking about. So we can't just ignore
that kind of market. Don't get me wrong, I like that side of the job. Mm. It's just part of the job I've always enjoyed doing. But like Stu says, it's a part of the job that I've always liked to do rather than... There's so much... Like, if you're looking at Twitter, there's these EFL Hub, EFL underscore transfers, Acura Sports transfer news. You just pump out...
How much harder does that make your job? Because obviously you've both been in the game for a while, boys. Both been in the game, man and boy.
Seen some things.
So, I mean, you've been in the game, you've been, what, since 2005, Stu? Have you been?
Andy and I are basically the same, similar sort of age, similar sort of time doing the football, so about 10 years probably.
What changes have you seen? I mean, social media and at this time of year is a nightmare, isn't it, for you personally, kind of seeing the wood for the trees. And I sit next to you, so I see you getting tweets saying, any news on this, any news on that, and it's some... Someone's tweeted from an account with about 3 followers saying, who was that keeper the other day that was meant to be signing?
Oh, Andy Lonergan will be announced at 7 o'clock tonight. There's no chance. There's no way are they signing a 35-year-old.
But it
Andy
is so
Lonergan.
Easy to start rumours now, isn't it? Literally, you could set up an account, call it something that sounds vaguely credible, like EFL Transfers or Transfer Network or something like that. And then once it gets one retweet, then it can spiral, can't it? And then before long, you boys are getting asked about it and, you know, rolling your eyes and this, that and the other.
Yeah, normally you shout something out across the desk because you've got your tweet deck open with hashtag ITFC sort of scrolling through, and you'll go, have you seen this? And then we'll sort of sigh and then open the tweet. You know, the account only got opened 3 days ago and it's got 4 followers.
I would like to point out that I generally don't bring what I think are laughable tweets to your attention. I do check
but
the source.
You do have to do... due diligence on all of them, because the one time that you'd sort of shrug it off, you know, there is genuine stuff out there as well sometimes. So that's
who was the one the other
the
day
job.
John Akinde that was suddenly came out of nowhere,
Lincoln Forward. I think that was another one of those.
Yeah, they won't be buying him.
Yeah, but the point I'm trying to make is it makes your job so much harder because you've got an idiot like me going, have you seen this, boys? And generally, I do like to say, well, you say you've got a reputation to uphold. I haven't got any reputation to uphold, so I'm quite happy to speculate wildly.
We're very clear that when we do rumour stuff or when we take things that are out there from other sources, we're very keen to badge that up as a rumour. So we put everything on our website. If it's not something that's created by us, it's Ipswich Town transfer rumour, colon... whatever the rumour is, if it's come from another media outlet, and then very early in the intro we'll say according to the Daily Mirror or whatever, so we're clear that we're just reflecting what is out there, because it is interesting to people and we can't ignore, you know, we're led by the audience at the end of the day. We have to report. I mean, we've had this debate about the Mick McCarthy stuff. At what stage do we stop reporting what Mick McCarthy's saying about Ipswich Town?
Because, never is the answer.
Well, we've had this debate as three of us. Every time Mick McCarthy has said something about Ipswich Town, a little barbed comment, I think Andy and I's instinct is to say, I think that's starting to wind people up now, and people say, well, you've got an agenda, it's clickbait, you're, you know. And my instinct is to kind of maybe start dialing that in a little bit. But you are, as our sports editor, 100% right. If people are talking about it and it's creating a buzz on social media and it's of interest to people, then we can't ignore it, you know, to a certain extent.
Which is why I write the Mick McCarthy stories now.
Yeah. But
you see my name in the story, it's basically because Andy and Stu have refused to do it.
But, you know, there is a way of doing these things, isn't there? And, you know, another example was the other day we did a pure speculation. This is sort of the desperation of silly season. You know, there's no getting away from it. This is sort of summer filler. But Andy mm-hmm. and I did a series of pieces of, here's some players that might fit the bill for Ipswich. And we're very clear, this is just a conversation starter. It's just a bit of fun. We've scoured the free agent list. Here's some defenders. Here's some midfielders. And Andy did the strikers one. And he turned to me and said, should I put Ched Evans on here? You know, he scored a lot of goals in League One last year. He's on the transfer list. He ticks a lot of the boxes. And, of course, Ched Evans comes with a certain amount of baggage and background. And we do have conversations about whether this is the right thing to do. And I sort of said, well, you can't not include him because he ticks a lot of the boxes. But we immediately, before we've even gone online with that, you know, you said to me, we'll get accusations of clickbait here. And sure enough, one of the first responses we got was, oh, Ched Evans clickbait. Hmm. Despite the fact that we made a conscious decision not to include his name in the webhead, not to include his picture as the main image. I think you put him about 7th out of 9 on the list. It was fairly hidden down. But that is the people are quick to shout clickbait these days.
I hate that expression so much. It's changed, hasn't it? Clickbait used to be, you'll never believe what this girl did after college. And then you click on it and like click through things.
You clicked on those as well, did you?
Yeah, I could not believe what she did after college, to be honest, but it was scandalous. Yeah. But, I don't think we stray into clickbait, I would say.
No.
Mark's shaking his head, definitely not. If the boss says we don't, then we don't.
Yeah,
clickbait is sort of being disingenuous with a headline to sort of lure you into clicking on it you know, find out who Ipswich Town are linked with, and you don't put the name on there, and it's, you know, we don't do that.
No, I think you're right. We can you still hear me, by the way? Because I can't hear myself.
Yeah, I can.
Have you lost the sense of hearing?
We've got headphones this week.
I think I might be having a stroke. as you say, we badge up everything as that's rumours as rumours. We have to address that market, and we do that. And then anything you boys, with your ears to the ground, actually doing the proper digging and the contact building and working the agents and whatnot, is badged up as different. And
I think our USP is hopefully that people then, you know, in amongst all of this noise, that people then hopefully come to us to say, all right, this is hopefully a little bit more serious if the guys at the paper
can we saying, can we delve a little bit deeper behind the curtain and give an insight into what it's like working with contacts/agents. I'm obviously not expecting to name anyone, but obviously they have their own interests, particularly talking about agents and shopping players around.
Let's give a little example here. That there was an article in one of the Nationals, a very brief article towards the back end of last season, about Luke Chambers being linked to
Chicago Fire
in the MLS, and it was just one line in, I think, the Mirror or something.
The Mail,
was it? Okay. With very sort of scant information, was just that they've identified him, and that was at a time where Luke was still negotiating his new contract, and I think Andy then interviewed him a few weeks down the line and sort of said, you know, was there anything in that, Luke? And I think Andy gave him a little bit of a knowing smile, and Luke sort of gave him a bit of a knowing smile back. And without saying for sure, I'm pretty sure that that's one of these that sort of gets planted out there just to help in negotiations sometimes.
And another interesting thing about that particular article was written by a man called David Kent, who does not exist. That is not a real person. So that's been written by somebody who didn't want their name to appear.
Oh, like when there's a terrible movie and the director doesn't put their name on it.
Yeah.
They put a false name on.
That could be for all number of reasons. But this
Can we sign David Kent, bring him in?
He gets a lot of stories in the Mail, in fairness. He does a lot of good work. But
does that make me David Kent? Because I'm the one who writes the stuff that you don't want to.
You're Mark Heath.
Yeah.
you put your name on it. If you started putting David Cannon
on it. I'm shameless. So obviously you have a lot of conversation with agents and stuff. Obviously they have interest, shall we say, in terms of talking things up and stuff. Is that hard at this time of year to kind of, again, see the wood for the trees? And
I wouldn't say agents are our key sort of point of contacts. I think that maybe more they tend to work more with the higher end of the game, so they're probably the Sky.
Not League One.
Not League One, but just in terms of local media, if you were talking about the hierarchy of media, they're using Sky Sports to kind of get those wheels moving. Ours is probably a little bit more niche in terms of people that we speak to, and it's difficult because, you know, we don't want to give too much away, but I kind of touched on this last week. It's a fairly broad spectrum of people that we speak to, and, you know, you've got people within the club that say we'll try and help you, and we have fairly adult conversations with the press team there to say, look, you would rather what we put out is correct rather than wrong, so we'll go to them and say we've heard this, and they'll go, yeah, you're on the right lines, or I wouldn't touch that if I were you, you'll end up looking a bit silly. And then we're both trying to sort of, you know, everyone's just trying to sort of feel each other out in terms of what you know and what you're prepared to sit on. And there's a lot of sort of gamesmanship, treading on eggshells. Yeah. It's all
and a lot of trust as well. Yeah. Like, and you build that trust with people over a period of time. You're not kind of cold calling people going, tell me this, I need to know what's going on. It's long-term relationships and people that you trust. So what, like you were saying, Mark, kind of like separating the wheat from the chaff. You know, if it comes from someone that you've worked with before, know and trust, you know that it's
legit,
that it's genuine. Yeah, that everybody's got an agenda in football, everybody has in this kind of thing, but you learn to trust people.
There are certain, when you're talking about trust, there are times where we might know something and you're asked by the source, please sit on this for now until I give you the green light, and then we'll get, frustratingly, it will come out elsewhere and you're kicking yourself, but ultimately you've made the right decision because, you know, that's another little step forward on that trust ladder with that person, that they've go, actually, you know, they did sit on that, and you know, so you hope that pays off further down the line, and vice versa. There are times where somebody might have an agenda on the other side of the conversation and they're giving you stuff, or they've told you, no, that definitely won't happen. And then if it does happen, you think, okay, we know where we stand with that person now, you know? So it works both ways, and you just try and be ourselves, and hopefully people realise that we're okay to work with, and that we're not, you know, we always say to people, trust us. If we break that trust once, that's it. You're not going to speak to us again. And that's the way I think both Andy and I try to work.
That's an excellent point on which to end this conversation. I have a proposal, boys. Now, we've only got a set period of time in the studio today, and I'm just looking through the mailbag questions we've got, and there are many and numerous. So I suggest we start on mailbag, have a little pause, a little less sensible interlude for Mark's big question, and get right back on the mailbag. What do you reckon?
Okay.
Any other suggestions?
No other suggestions.
Right, let's start on mailbag. Harry Butcher.
Stuart.
Oh. Friend of the show. It's the show bit.
No, the show, man. That was wrong.
Number seven.
Somebody, Alistair, who is our self-appointed Jingles critic now, which I'm embracing, he has actually pointed out that friend of the show, This Is Your Life, doesn't actually have the words "This Is Your Life."
No, you just add it, don't you, yourself?
You're just in your head, you always add the words. So maybe that is, I'm trying to master something that's never been done before,
which is incredibly impressive that you've managed to do that.
Thank you.
Also, we haven't sung the mailbag jingle.
Oh God, yeah. How are we going to do this? Now? Is it going to be like a harmony going forward?
No.
Should I just sing it and get it? Should I just sing it and get it done? What are you doing, Ross? Am I allowed to do it?
He's testing your levels.
Yes. Okay. Mailbag. Mark, Annie and Stu go dipping in the mailbag.
There are a few things in life that make me as happy as watching Andy sing the mailbag theme, because it makes you so happy. Why do you do it?
I'm just very happy today. Wearing shorts, which I like.
Yeah.
I bet I'm happier than you.
Are you
today.
Wearing the shorts to the office?
No, well, I have got some regulation work wear in my bag, but yeah. I'm tempted to not put it on.
I think you get away with it. I know for a fact.
Do it.
Yeah.
Well, this I just look creative today, don't I?
So you're very
just
creative.
Looking like I'm going to be creative rather than he's stuffy kind of office man. Creative. Maverick.
Hip.
Hip?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hip. The 1970s called. They want their word back, Ross.
Hibbity hop.
Hibbity hop. Harry Butcher, friend of the show number 7. Have you got any more charity cases you're going to give out friend of the show status to this week, Hutchie?
Before we... Harry is a much loved friend of the show. So yeah.
I must say that Harry, now I follow Harry, of course, he tweeted a video of his darts walk-on, which was to the Rocky theme, which nice. I greatly enjoyed.
Excellent. Combining Hurricane. Boxing and darts.
The Hurricane, Harry Butcher. He wants to know, very simply, what did we all have for brekkie this morning?
Cornflakes. Weetabix.
I had chicken.
What? And a beer.
No, I had no beer this morning. No.
I'm a little sick. And Ross had nothing.
Sugar.
You had sugar?
Chewing gum, yeah. Did you say?
Oh, chewing gum. Ah, okay. I wouldn't eat that.
The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
I wouldn't eat the chewing gum, Ross. Don't swallow it.
I don't swallow it.
It sticks in your intestines. Yeah, so cornflakes, Weetabix, and chicken. Excellent.
What kind of chicken?
Just piri-piri chicken, if you must know.
Did you go to Nando's for breakfast?
No, we buy Nando's rub because I'm cooking chicken all the time, so I rub it on the chicken, and then I just have slices of it for breakfast sometimes. Other times I have eggs, other times I have peanut butter on toast with banana.
Is it protein peanut butter?
No, although you probably can buy protein peanut butter. You can get protein coffee.
By its very nature, it has protein.
Is everything better with added protein?
No, it's very much not. Okay. No.
It does give you license to put like an extra fiver on a product.
Have you tried any of those protein, like Snickers and protein, which is basically just an excuse to, as you say, up the price, make the product taste less.
Somebody who's gone to the gym for the first time suddenly decides they need to.
Exactly. Yeah. Those are not good. Those are not good at all. If you're looking for protein, don't buy them. That's just basically sugar with a bit more protein added in.
Yeah.
Not good. Where are we? James Gulk, on the subject of protein.
I really like that name. Gulk.
Gulk. It's fun to say, isn't it?
Gulk.
JG. What is your favourite exercise in the gym? I guess this is mostly aimed at the Adonis Mark Heath. Correct.
Did he really put Adonis in the... Okay. Dubious.
I can confirm. But the others are free to chip in with their thoughts. And he'd accompanied that with a picture of, with a gif of old Arnie flexing. Could be me. Anyway, gym boys.
It's mainly aimed at you, so I think we need an answer from the Adonis.
In the gym, I like anything that involves arms. I'm a big fan of hanging bicep curls. Obviously the bench press. I like incline press-ups. They're good. Deadlifts. Full body exercise. Stuart, you've been to the gym more than once in your life. What's your favourite exercises in there?
It's been a while since I was a regular gym goer, I have to be honest.
How's the weight loss going, by the way?
Alright, do you want to see?
Hold on, what are you showing me?
Just showing you.
Just painting pictures. Stu just said, do you want to see this? And kind of pulled his shirt out of his trousers and pulled his trousers open. I don't want to see that, Stu, is the answer. No, not again. So Stu, you've lost, what is it now, a stone? More than?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Yeah, have you got a target goal?
No, not really. It wasn't about weight loss. It's just about trying to feel better.
Yeah, feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
You're looking good, actually.
Thank you.
You look healthy, doesn't he? Don't you think?
He's glowing.
Yeah, he is glowing.
I'm not pregnant.
Rossi, we were talking on the way back from Cage Warriors on Friday night about you're setting up your own home gym.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're going to get hench.
He's going to get massive.
Wow.
Ready for his UFC day.
Yeah, just go straight to the UFC, mate. It'll be fine. So have you got any favourite exercises you like to do?
Apparently I've got good legs.
Have you? Who's told you that?
My girlfriend.
Oh, very good.
They're not as good as mine.
Oh.
Oh, should we... Oh,
what?
Get mine out.
First of all, can we quantify what makes a good leg? What's she referring to? Muscular? Hair-free?
Yeah, a bit of both.
Hair free.
No.
Perfectly smooth.
Apparently, I've got footballer's legs, apparently. I don't know.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Muscular.
Just say, right, football.
Interesting.
Ross has got footballer's legs.
Yeah, Hutchie, perfectly smooth footballer's legs.
Hutchie, as you, every week we talk about a different part of your body, and now you're saying you've got good legs.
I think I have got quite good legs.
In what way?
Muscular, compact.
Yeah.
Powerful.
Yeah.
I think we've got familiar legs, actually. If we put our legs together, what? They look insane. I should get some shorts on and we can, you know.
We've got similar legs.
Yeah. What's going on, Stu?
No idea.
Anyway, okay, let's move on. So,
yeah.
Ross and Hutchie have got similar legs. Stephen Fuchs, reading Stuart Watson's article today, that's you, it's made me realise it could take a while to get back to the championship. I hope I'm wrong. Now, this is the latest in another kind of series of articles we're doing with a theme. And this is, you're looking at League One stories, basically.
Yes,
teams have
life
gone down.
Life in League One.
Stuart Watson's League One story. Life in League One.
Can we do the whispery thing?
No, really, I don't like it. I really don't. You're very good at it, though.
Yeah, Life in League One, in which I've kind of gone back through big clubs, inverted commas, which I know always splits people, but clubs that have spent the majority of their life in the top two divisions that then dropped into the third tier, and I'm kind of documenting how it went for them. So part one today is the ones that needed a little bit of patience. So we've got Leeds, Forest, both Sheffield clubs. I mean, they're all massive clubs, and that took them a little bit of time. I think they were probably all clubs that dropped into League One and maybe thought that it would be a bit of fun and a bit different and they would bounce straight back. But, you know, Leeds, 3 years, I believe it was. Sheffield United, six. But, yeah, there'll be some more on those. We're going to look at ones that have maybe yo-yoed, the sort of downward spiral for clubs like Blackpool and Coventry and others. And then we'll finish on a high with the success stories.
Success stories.
Stuart Watson's League One stories.
Success stories. Sam Bishop, do you think Lambert will adopt his style he tried when he first joined? Centre-backs dropping wide. If this is the case, then I wouldn't say any of our back five are ball-playing enough. Just Wolfenden. It'll be interesting to see if he's ready.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how Wolfenden steps up next year, because you're right, he's a ball-playing centre-back, and I'm not sure you'd put either Toto or Luke Chambers in that category. With the greatest respect to both of those, they've got lots of battling centre-half qualities, but I think Luke will be a little bit different. I think I can see him getting a chance.
I hope if they do go back to the split centre-backs things, it is with people that can do it, and a goalkeeper that can do it as well, rather than shoehorning that style onto players that don't suit it. I think you need to be doing that with players that are comfortable.
And we're not going to have split centre-backs anymore, though. Have you seen the rule change? This is a game changer. The ball doesn't have to leave the penalty box for goal kicks anymore. So
what?
The whole point of centre-backs splitting was that you had to come right down the width of the penalty box to receive the ball. Now they can, as far as I'm aware, just come and take it 5 yards off the goalkeeper.
Well, that sorts out the problems with Thomas Holy's kicking deficiency, doesn't it? Just tap it.
Well, what you could do is he could scoop it up onto Chambers' head and then throw it really, really far, which he can do. So, yeah, he can throw it over halfway, apparently.
Excellent.
So,
another reason that Town are going to dominate next season.
That's a good point. So it's not clear to me. I assume attackers won't be allowed in the box still. Otherwise, that would be ridiculous.
I think it would be even more ridiculous if you did see that, of like Luke Chambers on hands and knees just to touch the ball with his head.
You could have that. A goalkeeper dinking it up and then a bit of time wasting. The defender just nods it back to him.
He doesn't even need to dink it
up. The attackers can't get anywhere near it because they're not allowed in the box.
Yeah,
that can't be right.
That would make keeping the ball at the end of games ludicrously easy.
Very easy.
But
yeah,
there's going to be some of these rules open to, as always, people will try and find a way to use them to their advantage. They've tried to speed up substitutions by saying that when you get subbed, you have to leave the field at the nearest possible exit. So you, instead of players wandering over to the absolute far side of the pitch and then doing the slow walk off, and they're time wasting at the end, players will just sort of congregate in the centre circle to try and sort of take their time to come off. That's going to be very interesting. Defensive walls as well. I think they've said that you can't have attackers interfering in the wall. You know, you'd get someone on the edge of the wall and leaning in and stuff. But I think that's dependent on how many men are in the wall, whether it's two or three or four, so it's going to be some really interesting stuff.
Times ahead.
I don't like that one. For mm-hmm. me, just police it, ref it properly. Mm-hmm. If they're actually causing, if they foul while in the wall, then give a foul. Just like ref it properly. Yep. That would be my call on that one.
The pin.
Yes.
Friend of the show.
Number two.
Just closer. Have your back pin. Obviously, last week you tweeted in just say you're on holiday and had no questions. This week you've got two, and I'll ask them both because you are a friend of the show. He says, last week, while away at an exclusive beach resort, I noticed just how many old men are happy to walk around shirtless. Would you agree this is frankly disgusting and that a cut-off point, say the age of 18, should be in place beyond which men should not go topless in public? This is a very real issue. Now we've got the summer is here. Why is it that the only people you see walking around their tops off are chaps who should not be walking around with their tops off?
Does this include the beach?
Yeah, if we're talking beach, I've got no problem with anybody going topless on the beach.
I bet you haven't.
Beach,
yeah.
Swimming pool,
no problem.
Fine.
Yeah, well, I think he's talking about when you go on holiday, well, the sort of places some people go on holiday.
Once you then have a little wander into town to get something to eat, get your shirt
on. Yeah. That can be a kind of open white linen shirt, if that's what you want.
Yeah.
Do a few of the buttons up. Ipswich Town Centre,
no
put
one.
Your shirt on and put that energy drink down.
Yeah, it should be a criminal offence, shouldn't it, don't you think?
Well, yes.
Yeah. Why is it always the people who shouldn't be going topless?
Normally
as
accompanied
well?
By baggy jeans that are somewhere dangerously low.
Yeah.
They didn't, a lot of people that do that, there's not even any evidence that they have a shirt with them, which concerns me. So if you've got a shirt with you, one, put it on. Two, less problem with it. It's the people that don't appear to even have a shirt with them. Like, what? Where's your destination? Where are you going? I tell you where someone was going. When I last week, while I was off, we went on a little walk along the cliffs at Dover. Went for a few mile walk.
Mm.
There's a lighthouse at the end of this.
Yeah.
A young Kentish man.
Kentish man.
Yeah. Was in the lighthouse, topless. Yeah. This is a National Trust lighthouse.
Oh.
Put your top on at a National Trust property.
Have some respect, sir.
That's disrespectful.
Dover's not a nice place, is it?
Dover, no, the cliffs, lovely. Really, really
the town
nice.
Itself.
I don't know, we didn't go there.
No, it's not.
Is it
not,
bad?
It's not a happy place to be.
Cliffs are lovely, though. It was a beautiful sunny day.
Yeah.
Went for a few mile walk along the top. Really
beautiful.
Nice.
The pin also wants to know, and this is right in your wheelhouse, Hutchie. He says, I'm contemplating having my back waxed. Any thoughts? Should men remain how nature intended or trim where necessary?
I've contemplated having the same done. Never done it.
I'll go halves if you want to. Because they'll do it. No, listen, bear with me. They'll do you a back, sack and crack.
Well, you need
and
the,
I
you
don't need the back element, but the other parts, yes.
So what? So which one of you... If I'll take back, Mark, which for you... Which are you having?
Well, I need the crack. And you can take sack.
Well, there we are. Can you do that? Could you split that?
Have it in three parts. Yeah.
Well, essentially, they're carrying out the same amount of work. Yeah.
They're not providing any more wax, are they? It's just. Oh, I'm up for that. Okay.
Yeah. Manscaping. Where do we stand on that?
What's manscaping? What are we talking, like beards and stuff, or what's goes into manscaping?
Just general hair.
I apart from my back hair, I quite like my body hair.
Yeah.
Can't grow any on my face, but body.
Yeah.
All over it, apart from the little weird patch on my thigh.
I am now starting to get some rogue eyebrow hairs that are just you just get random ones that grow really long. So you do have to keep on top of that.
I'm a couple of years older than you, and I'm very firmly in that game. It's not a fun game. I didn't sign up for it.
That's where the majority of my greys emerge.
Yeah.
Eyebrows.
My wife has started pointing out my grey hair now and counting them as I'm sitting on the sofa next to her.
It's very good of her.
Yeah, it is,
I hope
isn't
you
it?
Go grey after all the chat about my
my
bald patch.
I probably will go grey, let's be honest, at some point. But I'll probably be a silver fox, I'd imagine. So, Manscaping, Roscoe, what are you saying? Obviously, you've got a great beard. Are you hairless elsewhere other than your legs?
No, I'm not hairless on my legs. I'm nowhere, I don't shave anywhere, really.
Yeah. That's his approach, he doesn't shave anywhere.
Natural, yeah.
It's the caveman.
Yeah. Trim it back, it makes it look bigger. That's what I'm saying. Ollie Feingold says, will there ever be a KOA live event? Interesting question, Ollie. there may well be. Watch this space. Would people come if we had one? That's an
interesting
question.
That's what we need to know. We need to know if people would come.
I assume...
Grow up.
It's such a base level, isn't it?
Just grow up.
For a man who's called the doctor.
Was that you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just get...
Sorry.
Grow up. Right.
Yeah. So, Ollie.
It's been discussed, but does it need to be around a game? I worry that if we just did it on like a random Tuesday night, about three people would turn up.
No, it needs to be around a game, doesn't it? So we can talk about the game. Maybe we can get some guests on. Let us know. Let us know if you'd come watch the KOA live event and who you'd like to see maybe us have on the show.
Andy could get his back waxed.
Oh, live!
Well, you can have the other parts.
Come to the KOA live event and watch Stuart Watson get his crack waxed.
It's really hairy.
Amazing. You know, you talked earlier about reputations. Now you're talking about having your hairy crack
waxed. Serious.
Yeah,
serious.
That would enhance your reputation, wouldn't it?
Oh dear. Let's take a couple more before we do Mark's big question. Harvey Davis says... Oh, sorry, Harvey Davis.
Friend of the show.
Number three.
Wow, that was...
That was quiet.
That was sensual. He wants to know anything in the Tom Eaves rumour.
The Tom Eaves rumour, I believe, is one that we were talking about earlier, which... has emanated from...
I wasn't aware there was a Tom Eaves rumour.
I think it's from one of these Twitter accounts. He's out of contract. We also included him in that striker list. He's an out-of-contract striker who's scored a lot of goals in League One. As far as I'm aware, he's certainly one they know exists, but I don't think, from what I've heard, there's anything there.
Okay. George Nunn says, "Chaps, long-time listener, first-time caller. Outstanding, George. Good to have you on board, and thanks for your... involvement. Is there any word from the club on exact dates for the German tour? Was considering heading over for it, but they're leaving it a bit late to get it all arranged. Cheers."
Why aren't they announcing this? It's really frustrating for the supporters. The first game, the Paderborn game, only kind of got announced because Paderborn announced it, and Ipswich had to kind of quickly react to that. The second lot of games will be the following Sunday, the date of which...
The
14th. July 14th. It will be on a Sunday. It will be a little mini tournament involving three other teams from Germany/Holland. There'll be 45-minute games, so there'll be two 45-minute semi-finals, and then the winners will play each other and the losers will play each other. So it will happen on that one day. The location and the opposition has pretty much all been sorted. They're just waiting for it to get signed off. And I think because there's four clubs involved, it's just the admin is a little bit more complicated to get everybody to sign off on it. But I do understand the fans' frustrations. If you head to the western part of Germany...
Possibly the northern, a bit north of west.
Closer
as well.
To the Dutch border... on that around that weekend,
and have a look at what teams are located there in the third division of German football.
Why can't we just say it?
Because people will get annoyed with us, and we're going back to the kind of breaking trust and maintaining contacts and things.
It's stupid,
we'll push them
it?
Again on that today, because I know people are saying, "Look, we just want to get our flights sorted, and
so
flights are going up."
Yeah, why don't they want the fans to know? It just seems...
I don't think it's not, not wanting them to know. It's just silly.
Okay.
Silliness.
Let's take a couple more before we go to Mark's big question. Martin, should the club clash in on Crow, or do you think there is a deal to be done and he signs a contract here? Obviously, there was a rumour going around last week, wasn't it? Huddersfield win for him. What are you saying on Dylan Crow?
It's difficult. Like, in terms of, like we said last week, in terms of a fee, it's not really a transfer fee. Like, it's kind of an out-of-court settlement because, and like Stu said last week, it, say a German club came in for him, he would go for nothing. It's one where agents are probably at play as well. We talked about this last week, didn't we? I can't remember if we talk about these things on the podcast or in the office.
Yeah, it all blends into one, doesn't it?
But yeah, I don't know, part of me... My gut feeling is that if they were going to lock him up on a pro deal, it would have happened by now. It's my gut feeling on that one.
One more. Dylan, If each of you had to get a tattoo or a new tattoo, what would you get and where? Now, are we all... How do we all have virgin skin?
Yes.
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 That's four. That's yeses.
Four virgin skins in the studio. Holla. Yeah, I'd like to get a tattoo, but I'm not allowed. So,
what would you get?
I was going to get one. I had a design done and everything.
But why are you not allowed?
Because the wife is very anti.
Was it fighty?
Yes, it was.
Was it Muhammad Ali?
It was Muhammad Ali. Yeah,
where was it going to go?
On my hole of my right arm.
Are you going to get a sleeve?
No, not a hole. I say hole. I mean this part of my arm. For the people not watching, that's down to my elbow. So from my shoulder to my elbow.
So you could have hidden it for work if you'd needed to.
Yeah, but I don't. I like tattoos. I'm going out there. I really like tattoos. Good tattoos, done well, can look really, really good.
I agree on that, but I think they're a rarity. I think that I have enough friends who have got them and regret them already.
Yeah.
At this stage in life, and I would worry that we're going to have a generation, our generation, are going to look a bit rubbish when they're in their 80s.
But they get saggy.
Saggy,
yeah.
Faded.
Muhammad Ali tattoos.
Yeah. I won't ever get one, I don't think.
No, I don't think I will either.
You would never strike me as a man who would have a tattoo, Hutchie. For some reason,
no.
I would think that Stewie, being from Essex, may have sort of had one back in the day when he was with the lads. Got one that she maybe regrets now, but no, that's not the case.
No, too sensible.
What's the worst tattoo you've ever seen? Come on, you see footballers all the time. There must be some dreadful ones.
I've got mates who've had them done on like
stag dudes
holidays when they were like 18, and like my mate Putty's got like a stick man with a halo over his head, which he's not particularly fond of.
Your mate Putty, did you just say? He's Putty. Called Putty.
Chris Putt.
Oh, okay, I'm with you. Okay. Classic.
Well, another guy called Tom's got like, I think it's meant to be a fox, but it's like
a fox.
It's like on his back, but it looks like it's been like smeared.
Why did
it's
he want a fox awful. In the first place? Who goes, let me get a tattoo? A fox is the obvious choice.
My mate Alex has got on his bum has got the logo of the bar he used to work at when we were at uni.
Yeah.
Why? Lads. What are you doing?
Absolute lads.
Yeah.
When you say, is it one of these stories, my mate? When you say that,
Yes.
I know someone who has done this, or I want to know.
It's not me.
It's not you.
No,
that's a shame.
It's not me.
Because we'd find out when you have your sack waxed. Anyway.
I'm only having my back done. So.
What was your uni bar called?
The one. This he didn't work at the uni bar. He worked at a Revs. There were two. Well, three actually. One. if you wanted to overpay, you'd go to the Graduate. If you
that
wanted
sounds
to,
classy.
It wasn't. But if you wanted to go to the club was just called Level One, but the two at your uni, were there those Scream bars run by a company called Scream?
Rings a bell.
Yeah, we had two of them. One was called the Polar Bear, which was great, and then the other one called Saw Point.
it's got a saw one.
The river was called the River Saw, as
and
in
that's
saw.
What
like
you've got tattooed on your ass.
Yeah, no, I've just got a polar bear.
Saw Point with a little arrow. Yeah.
Amazing. Roscoe? What are your thoughts on tattoos? You work with musicians and footballers alike.
Yeah, I like
what are you saying?
Yeah, I like them.
Would you ever get one?
I think so.
You'd get your girlfriend's name, wouldn't you?
No.
Oh, absolutely.
I think you would. I think you would.
Ross is a prime candidate to do that.
I think you would.
You'd probably put an idea.
Will I regret it, though?
That would be her decision, whether you regret it or not.
Yeah. What I think you should do is have a marriage proposal tattooed on you with her name on it. That'd be a really romantic way of doing it.
Why do people get their own names tattooed?
Oh, a great question. Like,
what's
you
that?
See, you see us all the time
name?
In fight sports, you see fighters with their surname tattooed on their back. Like, why? Why do you need your name on you at any point? You're not going to forget who you are.
You know the old Newcastle striker, Niall Ranger?
Yeah.
He's got his own name tattooed on like his temple.
Yeah.
It just says Ranger. And then on the inside of his lip, he's just got a smiley face.
Yeah. There's some
really nice bloke, Niall.
Really?
In person.
Yeah.
Not a nice bloke in some of his actions.
Yeah.
One-on-one.
Facial tattoos, generally not a good look. Who's that geezer in the NBA who's got some really dreadful facial tattoos? Deshaun Stevenson. I think he stopped playing now. But he had something above his eyebrows.
Really? Yeah. They're no good, are they?
Not good. Not good. Right. Let's do a Mark's Big Question quickly. Roscoe, have you got the intro Here we go.
Mark's big question.
Who's picking this week? Ross, you pick. Number between 1 and 53.
32.
32. 32. 32, please. It amuses me. How many bones have you broken? Who wants to start?
And he's counting on his fingers at the moment. One.
You've broken one.
Yeah, broke my leg playing football.
You basically did the biggest one. Of course you did. You did your... It was your I can't remember the name of the bone now, but the thigh bone, basically, wasn't it?
No.
No, it wasn't. Sorry. It wasn't the biggest one in that case.
You got your tib and your fib, haven't you? And your lower leg. It's just above the ankle, basically. I fractured it there playing football. Of all that, Andy's alluded to my playing style in the game recently. I'm very much a sort of crap first touch, heavy recovery tackle kind of guy.
Yeah.
Fairly reckless in the way I played football. Slide tackling's my things. But for playing that way, the way I broke my leg was just no one around me at all, and I just got my studs caught in the turf and turned, and it just made an almighty crack.
Ouch.
And I knew I was in trouble.
That's when the commentators say it's always worse when there's no one around them, isn't it? When they go down and there's no one around them.
And it was, yeah.
So you've done one.
I've done maybe four.
Maybe four?
Yeah.
Why maybe?
We're counting like fingers and toes and things.
Well, they still count as limbs.
I can't remember. I've broken a few toes.
How?
Just kicked a fireplace.
Why on earth would you do that?
Playing football in the house. My brother did the same thing.
At the same time?
No, later, but worse. My big one was I broke my left wrist playing rugby at school. I broke both bones in the wrist very bad. I kind of tackled someone and my elbow got wedged in the muddy field and their whole body weight was on the tips of my fingers and my arm just kind of crumpled into a mess.
I've done the wrist. Horrible.
Yeah,
which
really
is why
bad.
I've got a lot of respect for Luke Chambers playing with a broken wrist, because when I did my wrist, you know, even thought of doing any sort of contact sport was hellacious.
It's awful, isn't it?
Roscoe,
so painful.
How many bones have you broken?
Five.
Five?
Yeah.
Bloody hell, you're only 22. What have you been doing?
I was really a reckless child. I like to jump on things and climb things. And football as well was a...
So, list them. What bones have you broken?
So, I broke my arm three times.
Three times?
Yeah.
The same arm?
No, two. Two on my left and then one on the right.
Playing football?
Two playing football, and then one was climbing a tree and I fell down.
Standard.
And I broke my leg as well.
Whereabouts?
I don't know how to explain it. So just basically like Stuart.
Above the ankle?
Yeah, basically. And that was basically me going into a tackle, being a bit reckless, and someone, of course, stunned me and then, yeah.
Bang.
Bang.
So that's four.
Yeah.
What's the other one?
My hand.
Break your hand as well?
Yeah, I was actually a goalie as a 10-year-old, and it was just a hard shot, and I saved it, and then I fell down, and it was just a very awkward fall.
Wow.
So
it's made of glass.
Yeah.
Bloody hell, five.
You must
22.
Have done a few.
I've got, let me think, I've done my collarbone, which was horrible. I did that playing football. Wrist, playing basketball. Elbow, playing football. Ribs, fighting. And two broken noses, one playing football, one fighting.
The same nose,
yeah. As you can see, I've got quite a prominent lump at the top of my nose, which is where it's sealed. But the most painful thing I've ever broken is definitely my ribs. Like, again, we were talking about someone playing with broken ribs, weren't we, at one point?
Chambers.
Unbelievably painful, like, because you can't, when you lie down, that's when it's most painful at night, when you lie down, because you can't breathe properly with a broken rib. So, again, massive respect to him for playing with a broken rib. He's hard. I like Chambers.
I was more of a cuts and broken teeth kind of guy.
Broken You're hard teeth. Too, Stu. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'm hard.
I've got loads of cuts and scars and that. right, let's get back on mailbag, and we've only got 10 minutes left. So we're gonna jet through these. So Stu, let's keep it to the point, Stu, as opposed to ask yourself questions, Stu, in the mailbag. Where are we? Here we are. Ross Wishart, he tells me it's pronounced, because I've been pronouncing it wrong, Ross. Sorry about that.
How have you been pronouncing it?
Wishart. It's Wishart, apparently.
Obviously.
Sounds stronger. With an 89-year-old winning Britain's Got Talent last night, Okay. And Love Island starting tonight.
89.
I don't
is
watch
that a,
it.
Is
so.
That a sympathy victory? Or what, yeah. I don't know what he, they... Was he good?
Yeah, he was just a... he just did singing. But he'd lost his wife, and it was a sort of a singing for his...
Sympathy.
Yeah.
You make him friend the of the fall. Show, you would.
And there it is. Friend of the show. Sounds good.
Love Island starting tonight. Jesus Christ. Hutchie, you watch Love Island, don't you?
I watched it last year.
Absolute shambles, mate.
You were in it this year.
Just imagine. Imagine that.
Yeah. Taking a different vibe into the villa.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
When can we expect ITFC to announce Norwood? So we've already talked about this. We're thinking maybe this week?
Yeah, I think I imagine it'll Excellent. Be this week. But don't... It's done. Don't worry.
Don't worry, everyone.
Relax.
John Collis, other than the imminent arrival of Norwood, have the club shown any serious interest in anyone else? Or are there some good players available on free transfer? As he says, Tom Eaves, obviously we've established that is not a kosher rumour. Solid interest in anyone else that we're aware of at this point?
I think they know who they want, I think. I'm not sure we know all of those, but I think a lot of it is dependent on if and when and for how much Bart moves on, which at the moment... There's a lot of interest in Bart, but nothing
solid,
nothing concrete. But yeah, I think if that was to happen, I think things would start to move.
Can you say concrete again?
Concrete.
Wow, I like that. Lal Moss says, after this weekend's events, is boxing still a sport? Obviously, he's referring there to the huge upset of Anthony Joshua getting beaten by a fat pudding of a man. Yes, it is very much still a sport, and I was completely staggered by that news on Sunday morning. I was already getting up early, but the wife burst into the room and said, Anthony Joshua lost, and I was like, what? Sorry, Ross, I've just busted the levels there, haven't I?
A little bit.
Getting excited. He was heavily concussed, wasn't he?
Oh, he was all over the shop, mate. Absolutely. And that is concussion. When you see people from saying round three. Things like that in the corner, like, why is my body doing this? What's going on? I had a friend once who had a fight, finished the fight, and was back in the changing room asking when his fight was. He didn't realise he'd already fought. That is concussion.
That's not good, is it?
No. Barney Booth, could we see Edwards on the left in order to accommodate Lancaster?
That would seem a sensible solution to get your probably two best wingers, as it stands, into the team. I think... He never really tried Edwards on the left at all last season, and I think if that was in... Paul Lambert's mind in any way, shape or form, he'd have at least experimented with it a bit in those last few games, and he didn't, apart from the odd in-game shuffle briefly here and there. It was never really looked at as an option.
I think if you did start Lancaster and Edwards together, which didn't happen very often, did it? Because Lancaster's rise kind of came around the time of Guion's fall a little bit in terms of form. I think you'd see them swapping in game quite a lot, I'd hope anyway.
Yeah, Lancaster left-footed. So they could both play on either side. I mean, Lambert likes the whole inverted wingers cutting inside, and that would be ideal. Lancaster on the right, Edwards on the left. That's where he loves playing. He was very clear when he came from Peterborough. That's where he did the damage in League One for Peterborough. When he signed for Ipswich, he made a big thing of saying that's his favourite position. So I'd like to see it, but I'm not convinced it will.
But that all rests on finding a home for Alan Judge, doesn't it, in the team? Somewhere.
Boys, you know what I said about brevity?
No, carry on.
We've got 5 minutes left.
Okay.
you've taken 5 minutes to answer one question. Anyway, Timothy Hands, any thoughts on your topless/naked bets for next season?
No thoughts.
Possibly Stu and Andy get topless if Drynan gets 5 goals next season. And Mark, you have to get a Drynan tattoo if he doesn't. I'm not going to say anything about getting a tattoo. I'm not going there.
I'm comfortable in my part of that bet.
Yeah. Okay. So you will go topless when Drynan gets 15.
Yes.
Okay. Or five. Firmski, have any others
five
of
games? Is he going to play 5 games?
No.
Poor old Aaron. We could get him at the live event. That'd be amazing. Me and Aaron. I'll just hug him for like 10 minutes. Have any other members of the KOA team tried wearing women's jeans since Steve's revelation? Any other female clothing worn by the KOA team? P.S. I'm a fan. Another fan, he says, of Andy's mailbag jingle. Don't listen to the haters.
Good. He's my guy.
Women's jeans? Still a thing?
I've not tried them.
Still, you still wearing them? Every now and then?
Now and again, yeah.
Matt Thomas,
Friend of the show.
Any info on the reported possible sales of Kiefer Moore or Clark? Is it likely those extra funds would go to Lambert or cover losses?
I would be surprised if you suddenly saw the transfer policy change as a result of those.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to suddenly add to a war chest, per se.
Jay, now that Lambert has said he'll give Genoa a chance at right-back, do you think he'll make any signings in the defensive areas? Danasian and Emmanuel as right-back, Kenlock and Danasian as cover at left-back, and Chambers, Nsiala and Wolfenden at centre-back. Do we need any more defenders?
Throwing Darba in the mix there as well. One, possibly. Someone that can do left-back slash centre-back. Mm. I think they're maybe just a little bit short on left-footers, and Darba's the only one at the moment, and nobody knows how good he's going to be yet.
Untested.
Right, we'll do a couple more. Andy Mook, dark or milk bounty bar?
Never tried the dark, but milk I like.
I like milk.
It wouldn't be high on my chocolate bar list.
No, we need to do that extra time. Jack's Larder.
Friend of the show.
Oh, that was lovely. It was gentle.
Number four.
With AJ's big shock at the weekend, what will be the biggest shock to happen this season? Also, what's the most shocking thing you've seen with someone to come to your steak with? Mine's mint sauce, the dirty beggars. That is bang out of order. Mint sauce with a steak? You don't need any sauce with a steak. If it's a good steak and it's well cooked, you don't need any sauce. Biggest shock to happen this season? Town win a few games.
I don't know. I don't think any Ipswich player will score more than 20 goals. And I don't know if that's a shock or not.
Right, we haven't got time, I don't think, to do the rest of these. So I'm just going to shout out the people who have left messages we've not get to. So Kevin Mays, Arthur Pickthorne, Jamie Trott, Callum Wesley, Matt Lee, Tom Block, Tom, Wazza, Cyber Gamer, and Tricky McTrickerson. Sorry we haven't had time to get to your questions. We have a set finish time today. We don't normally, we just ramble on. But we've got
to be
out of here.
What about the guy that emailed you a question? Oh, can't leave him out again.
I haven't been into the office, have I, to get the question?
Okay.
But I think his name is Patrick, and Patrick, we will get to that next week, I swear. It's not time specific, so we can answer it whenever, but you will get that answered eventually. So, boys, we haven't got any other business, have we, obviously, because we haven't got time to have any other business.
No other business.
So, as usual, the outro goes like this. Sign up, subscribe to the podcast on your various podcast providers if you enjoyed what you put together. Sorry for being a hungover shambles of a man today. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, because I like them. And it helps with our visibility. Thanks again to IO Radio for hosting us in the bunker. It's been good sound-wise today, hasn't it, boys?
Yeah, headphones. Major win.
Major win with the headphones. Thanks very much for joining us, and we'll speak to you again next week.